This is Let's Talks in Kitsnevis here on Voice of the Caribbean Radio at voiceofthecaribbean.net. I'm your host, Andre Huey. On today's edition of Let's Talks in Kitsnevis, we get an assessment of the political situation here in St. Kitts and Nevis post the August 2022 elections. The government of St. Kitts and Nevis has endured its first 100 days in office recently, and they have given themselves a passing grade, and so has some of the politicians and some pundits. But what is a political analyst and pollster Peter Wickham has to say about the government's performance? And what is the future of the opposition parties, the People's Action Movement and the People's Labour Party, who both lost enormously in the August 5th, 2022 general elections? All that and more, we'll be talking with Mr. Peter Wickham of Cadres in Barbados right here on this edition of Let's Talks in Kitsnevis. But first, we'll take a break and be right back.
Voice of the Caribbean Radio, VOC Radio. Stay locked on.
The holiday season is approaching, and now is the time to get the message out about your business. SK Newsline introduces special advertising rates for the Christmas season with our Christmas specials. You can advertise on the SK Newsline newscast or send special holiday greetings to the general public with our Christmas greetings on both SK Newsline and Voice of the Caribbean Radio at affordable prices. Call our marketing department for more information, 665-7496, or email advertising at sknnewsline.com. Tis the season to be jolly, so enjoy our Christmas specials at SK Newsline and Voice of the Caribbean Radio, and promote your business the effective way this holiday season.
Online radio has never been this great. It's Voice of the Caribbean Radio at voiceofthecaribbean.net. Tune into Voice of the Caribbean Radio for great Caribbean programs, news, entertainment, sports, and current affairs. Wake up each morning and be inspired with One Day at a Time with Kim Huey. Stay abreast with news across the Caribbean and internationally with the Caribbean News Hour, and be entertained with shows like Reggaeville, Caribbean Classics, and Jive Music Show. Visit our website, download our Android mobile app, or listen us on TuneIn Radio. There is so much more on Voice of the Caribbean Radio, reaching the Caribbean and beyond. Check website or app for program schedule.
Want to buy some fresh fruits, vegetables, or ground provision, but don't have the time to go to the market or even to find parking? Look no further. Green Market and Delivery is your solution. Green Market and Delivery is an e-commerce store that sells and delivers local produce to customers in St. Kitts and Nevis. Anything you purchase, you can get fresh from the market and delivered directly to your door. Log on to www.greenmarketskn.com. Click on the e-store link, choose your items, and shop away. We have a wide array of products from fruits, vegetables, local products, spices and seasonings, and much more. Save time and energy. Shop on greenmarketskn.com, your one-stop shop for fresh local produce.
Stay abreast with news on St. Martin with SMN News. Visit www.smn-news.com for up-to-date news, scoops, opinions, and hard-hitting facts. SMN News, we tell it like it is. Visit our website, www.smn-news.com.
If you're looking for a place to host that special event, conference, meeting, social event, party, whatever the occasion, your best option is the Millhouse Convention Center in Palmetto Point, St. Kitts. Located on the picturesque Garvey's Estate, the Millhouse Guesthouse Convention Center has enough space for outdoor events overlooking the Caribbean Sea. If you're looking indoors, the center is equipped with amenities needed to make your event a success. And by combining both spaces, you're sure to have a memorable event, no matter the occasion. Call the offices at Millhouse Guesthouse and Convention Center to book your next event on simply the most beautiful place in St. Kitts. Call 668-1392. Millhouse Convention Center at Garvey's Estate, Palmetto Point, St. Kitts. Making your event memorable. Auto Plus Car Wash, located on the Collins Street Gut, Bastyr, St. Kitts. Bring your car to Auto Plus Car Wash to remove water stains, wiper marks,
Get your doors, roof panel cleaned, seat floor mats, buffing, headlights, and engine wash. You get quality service at the best price at Auto Plus Car Wash. They really care for your car. Call 765-5140 or visit them on College Street. Bastyr St. Kitts. Auto Plus Car Wash, where service is number one.
The voice of the Caribbean Radio.
Welcome back to Let's Talk St. Kitts Nevis right here on Voice of the Caribbean Radio at voiceofthecaribbean.net. As promised you, we will have an assessment of the political situation here in St. Kitts Nevis from Mr. Peter Wickham. We haven't spoken to him in a while. In fact, the last time we spoke was probably election night when we were counting down the election results. He was on the SK Newsline broadcast, the SK Newsline Freedom FM broadcast, which he had on the night of August 5th. Well, we're going to get his thoughts in a pre-recorded interview we did with Mr. Wickham, his thoughts on the performance of the Terence Drew administration thus far, the leadership style of Dr. Drew, and we'll also get his assessment. And I must say, he did have a damning assessment of the People's Action Movement, the future of the People's Action Movement, and also gave his thoughts on the future of the People's Labour Party. We also got his thoughts on the upcoming Nevis election. So let's go into that interview with Mr. Peter Wickham.
Peter, it's been a while since we spoke. Actually, the last time we spoke was on election night, when we were tracking the results of the elections a couple of months ago. Let's start by looking at the first 100 days of the Labour Party administration. They would have commemorated, somewhat to speak, of the first 100 days last week, where the Prime Minister would have give a report card on his performance, the performance of his government. Generally, from what you've been observing and what you've been looking at, how would you rate the performance of the government, the Labour Party government, under Prime Minister Dr. Terence Drew?
Yeah, well, again, you know, congratulations to Prime Minister Dr. Terence Drew. I always find the 100-day assessment is somewhat artificial, and I'm never really quite sure why we adhere so closely to it, but I think it's more of an American thing in their politics. That said, you know, the first 100 days of the Labour Party administration doesn't seem to have been unreasonable. I think the expectations in terms of what the Labour Party was expected to do were relatively low. The reality is that the last government collapsed. I think what the Labour Party needed to do was to essentially restore stability to the administration. And I think that definitely they have done. They have introduced some limited measures. They have given promise to double salary for Christmas, which is a standard thing in St. Kitts and Nevis these days. So things like that are important achievements. But I think the most important thing is stability. You know, we saw a situation where a young prime minister has taken over. There were lingering concerns over the extent to which his predecessor in the Labour Party would have played a somewhat less constructive role. Thus far, he seems to have been able to keep the reins of government held fairly tightly, and things haven't gotten out of hand. So I would say that there's a contrast between the instability of the past under the Team Unity administration to the stability of the present, where you use a single solid government under one leader, and there is no rancor or disagreement within the ranks. And I would say that for the time being, that's good enough for Dr. Drew.
Now, in terms of the, and let's start with Dr. Drew. This is his first time in Parliament, and you know, he's now at the helm of the country. So it's a big jump from not being in Parliament to now not only being in Parliament, but being in government and being the Prime Minister of the country. Similar to a situation in Grenada, where the Prime Minister there is also a first time parliamentarian. Your thoughts on even his demeanor, the way he has spoken, the way he's been conducting business so far? Still early days, but still, how would you assess that?
Yeah, I mean, I think he does have some growing to do in the office, and in due course he will. I think the comparison that is made with both certainly Dr. Taharis and Dr. Douglas presents him as being a somewhat quieter type of individual. He doesn't engage the rancor in the way that the others would have, and he appears a lot less, one could say, a lot less aggressive in terms of his politics. But I think that that's a role that he will grow into. And you were right, you know, this is the first time sitting in Parliament, and he's sitting in Parliament as Prime Minister. I think it's a significant achievement. You've had leaders like, let's say, Dr. Gonzalez in Grenada, in St. Vincent and the Grenadines, who the first time he sat in Cabinet, he was leading it. but he was a member of parliament before. But it is interesting that both in Grenada and in St. Kitts and Nevis, you have leaders who are first-time parliamentarians. In the case of Dr. Mitchell, he won his first election as prime minister. In the case of Dr. Drew, of course, he has been in the Huskins before and he hasn't been successful. And his first time successful, he becomes prime minister. So it's a significant achievement for him. And it's also historic in the context of Kitchen politics for a person who becomes prime minister to arrive at the office in that route. But I do think when you look at his demeanor, he does not come across as being as aggressive as the others. But as I said, I think he has time to grow into that role. The reality is that he hasn't really faced any issue where he needs to be aggressive thus far. And I think in time, you know, that may very well happen if indeed it needs to. The alternative is that we could have a different style of politics. And I think that many people would welcome that as well.
Well, let's jump on that point, because he has indicated from the get-go that he intends to bring a different style of politics, his government and himself. How would you say then that, you know, this is going, and whether or not he'll be able to maintain this? Because obviously it's a different style of politics. He came in, he decided that he was not going to immediately dismiss people who were part of the previous administration, gave political appointees time to resign. Some of them, well, most of them didn't, and so they were replaced. So in a case like that, how would you... Do you really think that the new style of politics that he's trying to introduce to St. Kitts and Nevis is something that will last based on the current political climate or the political history that St. Kitts and Nevis has?
Well, I mean, that's something which fascinates me. I think it's needed. I think that St. Kitts politics was far too divisive over the years, far too polarized, and I think it is definitely needed. The fact that Dr. Drew appears to have embraced the path of least resistance, I think it's not a bad thing for Kitchen and division politics, and I wish him well in that regard. As to whether or not it will last, you know, one of the significant things about the Denzel Douglas administration and certainly the Timothy Harris administration is that a lot of the actions that they took when they were under pressure, and in many instances were under considerable pressure politically. In the case of Dr. Drew, he's going to have an interesting time in office because, and I hope that we get to this conversation later, I think the reality is that he has very little reason to fear being out of office for quite some time. He's a young person. There's a lot of time where he can work. And the reality is that opposition forces are not in a position to threaten him now or any time in the near future. And I think against that background, he can take his time, he can be comfortable, and he can develop his own style of politics. And I think that there are many people in St. Kitts and Nevis who are ready to embrace that type of politics. Initially, that was what Team Unity went on. They went on a kind of gentler politics. If he is interested at all in recapturing some of the persons lost to Team Unity, that strategy makes perfect sense. And I think that a lot of those persons are fair game now. You know, the Labour Party won all the seats on the island, mainland, in the past, and it is entirely possible that they can do it again in the future if you have a leadership that is able to capture and embrace these people who were previously associated with Team Unity, people who were previously associated with the People's Labour Party, and also with the People's Action Movement. And some of those persons may be comfortable with the idea of embracing a different type of politics. And if he offers that, certainly it could go somewhere. So we were anxious to see how he is able to hold on to that principle.
I guess, I know it's early days, and we've spoken about this in the past, even before the Labour Party won the election, the possibility of there be any form of disagreements between Dr. Drew and the former Prime Minister, Dr. Denzel Douglas, who is part of the cabinet. First of all, let me get your thoughts on the fact that he has been appointed as Foreign Affairs Minister, very senior position, and that, you know, the portfolios he's been given seem to be, you know, sort of in line with the qualifications or the experience that Dr. Douglas has. At the same time, some persons might see this as, well, a way of keeping Dr. Douglas happy, and by extension, keeping the government united. Your thoughts on the portfolios that Dr. Douglas have and how you see the relationship between the two?
Well, the thing with foreign affairs in recent times, and this is a development, I would say, for the foreign ministry across the region over the last 10 years, there is a lot happening internationally now. in the case of St. Kitts and Nevis, certainly with your citizenship by investment program, but also in terms of the number of international negotiations that have been pursued. So even before the war, you know, we had a fairly busy time where persons who were foreign ministers were finding themselves negotiating in several different theaters on an ongoing basis, because you had different agreements being negotiated, both at the bilateral level, at the multilateral level. And there were several different issues which engaged the attention of a foreign minister. Against that background, a foreign minister becomes a person who is pretty much out of the here of local politics on an ongoing basis. Foreign ministers have always recently best been a person who can win a seat easily, and a person who does not have to be on the ground a lot, a person who can essentially take long periods of times away from the Huskins. And ultimately, Dr. Douglas is that person. The other good thing about him being foreign minister is that the more he is out of the way locally, the less he threatens the important roles that Dr. Drew will play in terms of local politics. So he is nowhere near the Ministry of Finance and indeed the Ministry of Home Affairs and the other places where the local politics takes place. But he is, you know, essentially in centers where he's largely to be distracted overseas. And I understand that there have been some wobbles even there as liberties have been taken. But the reality is that a prime minister who understands his role and his power can easily check the actions of a foreign minister in those kinds of fora quite easily while remaining at home. And I do feel that Dr. Drew will be able to do that. So the foreign ministry is perfect, quite frankly, for Dr. Douglas, because it benefits from his tremendous international experience and exposure. Of course, he was very involved in the HIV fight back in the time when he was prime minister. And I think it's useful to make use of his international expertise in that regard. And foreign affairs is also good because it gives him a platform that appears to be distinguished, that you know, essentially will certainly play to his ego because of the fact that he is representing St. Kitts and Nevis at the highest level. But it's also something that keeps him out of the way. So I think politically, it makes perfect sense. I think that it was a perfect shot for the prime minister to appoint him to that role. And I think that it will be good not only for the development of the country, but also for the stability of the politics on the ground, the domestic politics. And I think it benefits that well. So you ask about in terms of keeping the party together, I think it works well. In terms of keeping Dr. Douglas's intellect occupied, that's also important, and that works well. So on several fronts, it's a good appointment.
Do you think it was strategic to have him in that position?
Oh, but most definitely. I would like to think that all of the appointments were strategic, and I think that one most of all would have been strategic. So yeah, for sure, it's a strategic appointment, and it's good strategy.
Before we move on from the Labour Party and talk about the other political parties, I want to get your thoughts on the relationship between St. Kitts and Nevis. That was a major sticking point which led to the collapse of the Tea Community administration. So far, the Premier has spoken very highly of the Prime Minister, and in fact, both leaders, political leaders on Nevis, have given a passing grade, so to speak, to the team in the Labour Party administration. Given that, do you anticipate that this relationship will continue to foster and develop in one that probably it didn't reach at the levels where Team Unity is concerned? And also, when you consider that Mark Brantley, the Premier of Nevis currently, is also the opposition leader, a position he held before going into government.
I mean, that's something that I am a bit fascinated by. I was surprised that he took up the role as opposition leader, and I can only assume that his decision in taking up the role as opposition leader was a strategic one where he thought that it would be better for him to take it so that someone else wouldn't get it. But I'm a bit surprised that the minority party, certainly within the St. Kitts arrangement, the federal arrangement, which would have been PAM, didn't take it up. But ultimately, it stayed with the CCM on the basis that the CCM had the majority of seats in the opposition. I find it an odd kind of situation, because where you are as Premier of Nevis trying to essentially draw closer to the government of St. Kitts, one would think that being in opposition is not exactly the most comfortable place to be. Having said that, it is what is done. And I guess he has his own reasons for doing it. As to the relationship between the two, I disagree with you slightly in that I think that the best relationship between St. Kitts and Nevis was actually in the early days of the Team Unity administration, before you know, matters of fair share and not emerged. I do feel that the team unity arrangement took the relationship between St. Kitts and Nevis to a higher level. We found a situation where Premier Brantney was holding a ministry and he was sharing responsibility with St. Kitts and Nevis. And in some instances, the ministry was in part of its orientation relocated to the island of Nevis, which I think is a brilliant idea to share responsibilities between the two islands. So I think that that took it to a new level, that established a new bar. And I think that the relationship is fractured now. I mean, regardless of what is said, you have a situation now where the leadership of the CCM and the local government and the premier is opposition leader for whatever that is worth. We have a situation now where neither PAM nor CCM or NRP is part of the coalition government, part of the government of the federal government at any level, not even a senator. And that is also, I think, a significant situation. And things continue. So I don't know that the relationship is better now. I think it is worse. There was suggestions of a fair share, and that was part of the reason that it broke up. Look, Andre, you and I have always spoken about this, and I have always argued I thought that it was a fundamental error on the part of CCM and PAM to break up the coalition. I think that the whole idea of gaining a fair share, it would have worked beautifully if the maths had worked out differently and they had been in government. The fact that they're no longer in government means that the fair share is not likely to happen. And, you know, it's fascinating because I heard Mark Brantney speaking about the fact that Timothy Harris was playing games with him by offering him committees to discuss and negotiate and whatnot. And it was interesting to hear him welcome the announcement of yet another committee, which is formed to discuss how the relationship between St. Kitts and Nevis on a financial basis will go forward. So clearly, Dr. Drew is playing games as well, but I guess there are different games to the games that Dr. Harris was playing. I think that we all understand in the final analysis that Nevis will not get any fair share. And the reality is that the fairest share that Nevis was getting was what they were getting under the Team Unity administration, which they deliberately broke up. Now, Nevisians have to determine whether or not they ought to reward the position that the CCM took in the local elections, or alternatively, whether they think that they are better off. Personally, I can't see how they are. I think the relationship now is a worse relationship. I think that the likelihood of Nevisians benefiting more significantly is lower. But again, I would be persuaded if I could be convinced differently based on things that I've been hearing from either Premier Brantley or alternatively from Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew, to me, is doing what makes good sense in that he's saying the coalition thing was problematic in the past, and it would be highly unwise for him to let either the CCM under Mark Brantley or alternatively the People's Action Movement anywhere close to his government, because he doesn't need them. And a coalition is likely to create problems as it did in the past. So he's saying, look, I'm steering a path on my own. I'm in a position where I have control of revenues coming in to the Federation. And for the time being, I will keep that arrangement as it is, and I will share those revenues as I see fit. And I have an opening where I can create a committee that is somewhat distracting from the reality of what is going on, and that can keep a conversation going as long as it's necessary. And the longer the conversation goes, the less frequently or the less likely it is I actually have to pay any serious attention to this claim of a fair share. So this is where we are. It's politically tragic, quite frankly, but it was entirely predictable. And I think that, you know, there are many of us in the lead up to the whole thing said that it is not likely to work out. And what you do have now is a relationship between St. Kitts and Nevis that is not in a good place. Perhaps under the NRP, there could be opportunities for greater benefits or greater negotiations. It's possible that the Dr. Hodge, I believe is her name, is it Dr. Hodge?
Yes, Dr. Hodge, yes.
Dr. Daniel Hodge. Yeah, right. I think Dr. Daniel Hodge is probably seen as a less tainted option, and maybe she may be able to negotiate on new terms. But for the time being, the anger and the vitriol and the harshness of a position that demanded a fair share is not going to work in a conversation where you have someone demanding a fair share in a situation where they have a disproportionately less power and influence over the administration of the day.
Well, definitely we'll talk some more about where the NRP comes in a little later on. But I want to, get your thoughts on this point. Of course, you're saying that you believe the relationship is worse because you don't see a situation where Nevis will get a fair share or even get maybe as much as they were getting under the previous administration. However, The rancor, the vitriol, the back and forth that we were having in the latter few months of the TMMT administration, you don't anticipate that that may happen under this arrangement, whether or not they do get a fair share. So at least from that standpoint, and of course, you're seeing attempts by the prime minister to reach out to Nevis and to foster a good relationship with Nevis. Of course, the issue of fair share will come up at some point eventually in the analysis. But as it stands right now, it's brotherhood and sisterhood.
Well, I mean, brotherhood and sisterhood in name. My feeling is that brotherhood and sisterhood in a situation where you're actually sharing power and sharing ministries and sharing money, I think that's a stronger bond politically than, you know, the fact that I will stand and I will say I love you on an ongoing basis. You know, you have husband and wife all the time that have situations where the love is strong, but alternatively, if the finances are weak, it doesn't work. And I think that that's exactly where they are now. So the language of love and brotherhood is strong. There's no question about it. But my sense is that in many instances, the language of love and brotherhood has always been strong. The problem is that the rubber has hit the road in relation to another vineyard. And this is a vineyard of money and sharing financially and so on. So the rancor in the last occasion was associated with the fact that there were unmet expectations. What has happened in this arrangement is that the expectations have been lowered in a situation where the prime minister has effectively said, I will offer you certainly my love and my hand, and we will discuss what options will come in the future. The point at which there are agreements that are made, and then those agreements are not kept, that's the point in which we will have victory again and we will have disappointment. But the reality is that for now, it's easy to talk about love because love doesn't really come with a price tag. And of course, Navishans and Sinkitians love each other. They always have and they always will. But the question is to whether or not this love is going to translate into anything more than 1,000 laptops from time to time is something that I really wonder about. And I do feel that it's hard to argue that the Navishans are better off under this current arrangement because there is no sharing of power in Bastyr holds and is centralized. All the power in relation to the federal government currently rests in Bastyr, and that was not the situation in the past.
I guess what love got to do with it is the question to ask.
There you go.
But again, I guess this takes us to constitutional reform, that there would probably be have to be constitutional reform. We've heard the Attorney General hint to that they are going to be, during the life of their term, looking into serious constitutional reform that would also probably change the relationship between Syndicates and Nevis from that standpoint. Let's talk a bit about the other parties. The People's Action Movement and the People's Labour Party suffered heavy losses, maybe more so the People's Action Movement because they had 4 seats, they left with 1. The PLP had 2, they're back to 1. Let's start with PAM, obviously the biggest losers in this election. How do they bounce back from this? And do you see a situation where the People's Action Movement, by the time the next election comes around, will remain relevant in Sinkitians Nevis politics?
Yeah. No, I wondered about that for a while. Frankly, Andre, I'm looking at the current situation and I cannot see a reasonable path back to victory for the People's Action Movement. I'm seeing a situation in which the People's Action Movement will continue to hemorrhage under this current arrangement. My personal feeling was that the People's Action Movement was in the best place it ever was in the last situation because they seemed to have been a political maturity that understood not only that they were sharing power now, but there was a reasonable path to PAM leadership coming out of that arrangement. Now, I'm told that that path had been destroyed even before the government was destroyed. I don't know whether that's the case or not. But the point is that certainly if I look back 2 years ago, I could see a path. I could see a path that could have led to Sean Richards becoming Prime Minister of St. Kitts and Nevis and essentially for PAM to be able to say they will restore the leadership of the country to the PAM home at some point in time in the future. Realistically, no, I cannot see how that will happen. And what I think is more important is that the maturity, which I spoke of in relation to power sharing, is no longer there. PAM will not get into a relationship with the people's, with the St. Kitts and Nevis Labour Party. The St. Kitts and Nevis Labour Party, frankly, would need psychiatric evaluation if they thought it prudent to share power and to get into a coalition arrangement with the People's Action Movement. We talk about PLP later. In as much as that is the case, the question is, what is PAM's pathway to victory where it secures the government on its own or alternatively in association with the CCM? Whether or not the CCM's star has also started to pitch is another matter altogether. But for the time being, I'm not really seeing it. I'm seeing a PAM leadership, which is currently under Sean Richards. Sean Richards has not made a significant political statement since the last election. Frankly, I think that Sean Richards is somewhat embarrassed by virtue of the fact that he stood up and he took a position and he was proven to be wrong. And ultimately, the losses were significant. You know, so you have a situation where they took a chance in the hope that they could gain more than they had. And they essentially have emerged like the dog that's standing and staring into the pond, where you snap at the bone, you snap at the shadow, and alternatively, you lose the bone as a result. And I think that that is ultimately the situation that PAM is in now. So I think the leadership of PAM has some serious introspection to do, but I don't believe that there is a leadership maturity there to allow for any kind of coalition arrangement. And PAM cannot survive on its own in terms of its political future. I don't know what is being said by some of the others within PAM. I've heard rumors that some of the persons who were members of parliament have finished with politics, which would not be in a reasonable position to take. And I've heard some of the others are saying, well, you know, there's a possibility for restructure. A best case scenario could be that a new person that could lead PAM could generate some level of interest. My feeling is that if it is one of those persons who were in parliament before, I would be very, very surprised if people have any greater love or affection for them now than they did before. And if people are ready to forgive them for making some grave and fundamental political errors that could easily have been avoided when they were in the last term. What will happen from this point onward to me will be a situation in which PAM will continue to struggle. And it will continue to ask itself whether it can be a future government. It will continue to present candidates that are not well organized. And it will continue to present an alternative as though it could be an alternative government. And it will continue to be beaten badly. Labour Party's dominance of the political landscape in St. Kitts and Nevis is all but assured, at least for 15 years under this current arrangement. Because as long as Team Unity, as long as the PLP sticks in there, and attempts to replace or displace PAM, as long as PAM determines that it is one of the oldest political organizations in the Federation, and it says, you know, it will continue to fight elections, it may very well win the one seat it has, or alternatively, it may not win any at all. I think the Sandy Point seat, we agree, is one that will be hard for PAM to lose. So it could continue to stick in there and decide to hold on to that seat, and alternatively just convey power to the St. Kitts and Nevis Labour Party every single time an election is held. But I can't see any positives for PAM, and I'm not hearing from the leadership what kind of pathway to victory it sees itself. And I think that we really have to wait and hear from the leadership of PAM and what statements it makes and what organization it attempts to pursue. I mean, I've heard rumors that during the course of setting up of the new government, that the PAM leadership was negotiating for ministry within the St. Kitts and Nevis Labour Party government. And I mean, I assume it was a bad rumor and it didn't come to pass. But my question is this an organization that was in coalition government that is now saying that the best it could take is to take a small piece of a government, of an entity that it struggled and fought against so bitterly over the last how many ever years? It just is not making political sense. So I don't know where it is going, and I haven't heard from any of the members within the organization, either privately or publicly, in a way that would lead me to believe that they have a clear plan. And in the absence of that, I'm just going to see it struggling, and you know, it's just going to continue to flap around like a bird that has been shot in the sea, and we wait to see how long that will happen. And it will definitely secure the Labour Party in office for quite some time to go. Dr. Drew is a young leader. If he walks a path and he doesn't make obvious mistakes, he's going to be Prime Minister for an extremely long time. Mm.
The People's Action Movement, it is the second oldest political party in the country, in the Federation. And as you pointed out, you don't see them coming back. You don't see them even in a position to form a government. What will it actually take? I mean, yes, you're saying new leadership is probably needed. If any of the political players that are there or were there in Team Unity are not interested or probably not going to be playing a role to take up the new leadership, who will? And what hope is there for the People's Action Movement, in your view?
Yeah, I mean, that's essentially what would have happened with the NDC in Grenada, where someone who was non-political and just came out of the private sector took over the leadership of the NDC and led it to victory. This is the kind of magic that PAM could hope for as a best case scenario. But the reality is that the administration of Dr. Drew is too young for that. That happens in a situation where you have been in politics for a long time, where you have dominated the political landscape for a long time, but that's not happening in a hurry in the case of St. Kitts and Nevis, because Dr. Drew only just started. So I am not really seeing the potential for somebody who is an outsider coming in. You know, my sense was that the Dr. Harris was essentially the surrogate leader of PAM. And that was the way that they were able to take power, because he essentially presented an option where persons who were uncomfortable with supporting PAM as a party were then comfortable with it. So that was their path. The reality is that they messed up their path. And my thing is, until we hear from them what the alternative path is, I really don't know what I would say to them. If I were advising our organization, I would tell them, you know, the best thing for you to do is to do what you were doing already, which is to form a strong coalition with another entity and see if you can fight to regain power. The reality is that they can't convince Kittitians and divisions of the reality or the feasibility of anything so in the future, not in the near future, not with the current players in place. It's just not going to happen. And I don't know whether the current players are going to be willing to say, well, let me cede power to a new set of players who will be able to negotiate without the baggage of the past going forward. So it's going to be fascinating politics.
We'll take a break and be right back. You're listening to Les Stars and Kits Nevis right here on Voice of the Caribbean Radio at voiceofthecaribbean.net.
Simply the best sound in Caribbean radio. This is VOC Radio.
The holiday season is approaching, and now is the time to get the message out about your business. SK Newsline introduces special advertising rates for the Christmas season with our Christmas specials. You can advertise on the SK Newsline newscast or send special holiday greetings to the general public with our Christmas greetings on both SK Newsline and Voice of the Caribbean Radio at affordable prices. Call our marketing department for more information, 665-7496, or email advertising@sknnewsline.com. Tis the season to be jolly, so enjoy our Christmas specials at SK Newsline and Voice of the Caribbean Radio, and promote your business the effective way this holiday season.
It's the new and improved SK Newsline Android mobile app. With the SK Newsline app, you can watch your news reports, the SK Newsline newscast, sports, special features, and so much more. You can also send us a WhatsApp or call us directly. Go in the Google Play Store, search SK Newsline, and download the app today. The SK Newsline mobile app. News on the go.
Let's talk St. Kitts and Nevis, a talk show and current affairs program focusing on St. Kitts and Nevis, the Caribbean, and international news. Every Tuesday at 10 a.m. on Voice of the Caribbean Radio, join host Andre Huey as he delves into topical issues of the day. We'll open the lines so you can call in and be part of the discussion, and he'll feature guests each week to help shed light on the various topics of discussion. Let's talk St. Kitts and Nevis with Andre Huey, Tuesdays at 10 a.m., with rebroadcasts on Wednesdays and Fridays, also at 10 a.m., on Voice of the Caribbean Radio at voiceofthecaribbean.net. Also listen on our Android mobile app and TuneIn Radio. Voice of the Caribbean Radio, reaching the Caribbean and beyond.
I'm Making It Happen with Nicole Tyson, every Tuesday at 11 a.m. with a rebroadcast at 4 p.m. Get insightful information with interesting guests from the U.S. Virgin Islands, each and every week. I'm Making It Happen with Nicole Tyson, every Tuesday at 11 a.m. and 4 p.m. on Voice of the Caribbean Radio, reaching the Caribbean and beyond.
Nestled between evergreen mountains and the Caribbean Sea on the island of St. Kitts is the Millhouse Guest House and Convention Center. With breathtaking views, a rugged, beautiful shoreline, and immaculate manicured gardens, make this the perfect location for your holiday, event, or wedding. With a large convention center, apartments with balconies providing stunning views, and a secluded cottage for larger family groups or honeymooning couples looking for some privacy. We have something for everyone. Book your stay at www.millhousesknn.com or visit our Facebook page, the Millhouse Guest House and Convention Center, an oasis of tranquility.
Hey, it's John Lee Dumas of EO Fire, and it's The Entrepreneurial You, the show for dedicated and passionate Caribbean entrepreneurs seeking daily inspiration, brought to you by author, speaker, and award-winning entrepreneur, Henneka Watkiss Porter. You must be prepared to ignite.
The Entrepreneurial You. Wednesdays at 11 a.m. with a rebroadcast at 4 p.m. on Voice of the Caribbean Radio. Reaching the Caribbean and beyond.
Welcome back to Let's Talk St. Kitts and Nevis. We continue our discussion with Mr. Peter Wickham on the political situation here in St. Kitts and Nevis.
All right, let's turn our attention to the PLP. They are the third cog in the wheel, the youngest party. They competed, held the seat of power in the previous administration for 1.5 terms. Where does their future lie? Right now, the only seat they have is that of the leader, Dr. Timothy Harris. There's a lot of people who did not see them even winning a seat or even being a contender to the Labour Party in the last election. Is this where does the future of the PLP lie? Can the PLP survive this onslaught? Will they become relevant at any point in time and be a challenger to the Labour Party?
Yeah, to me, the PLP is like the little engine that could. The PLP came into a situation where the probability of it being able to win leadership of a country in a situation where it was a minority partner was extremely unlikely, and they not only did it once, but twice. The reality, however, is that it did it under Dr. Timothy Harris. I would say the future of the PLP is very much wrapped up in the future of Dr. Timothy Harris. If Dr. Timothy Harris decides that he's finished with politics, it's going to be difficult to see how the PLP is going to shine beyond that. My feeling is that the PLP can lose a few elections and still survive simply because the expectations for the PLP are relatively low. PLP has been in office once, it won 2 elections. There are very few political parties that could be said to have formed, and within months of forming are in government and also holding the leadership. And that's a pretty distinguished track record. The difference between them and PALM is that PALM has been at it for a long time and isn't really able to produce the success. So my sense is that if the PLP lasts until the next election, if it is able to hold on to the leadership of Dr. Harris or alternatively change leadership and emerge with someone who is of the same kind of political attraction as Dr. Harris, and you know, hold on to a seat or two in the next election, I think it has a future. But I think we need to wait till the next election to see that. If the PLP is able to hold or gain an additional seat in the next election, in a situation where PALM is unable to gain an additional seat or alternatively loses an additional seat, to me, it threatens the viability of PALM, and it creates the opportunity either for PALM to implode completely or quickly, or alternatively to negotiate an accommodation with PLP yet again and create the opportunity for one or two of them to emerge as a competitor or serious threat to the St. Kitts and Nevis Labour Party. These are all entirely optimistic suggestions. And my feeling is that the next election will not produce a result that is anywhere near as clear as that. And as a result, we're going to probably back in a situation that's pretty much similar to this one, looking to see what happens on Nevis and what the relationship with the Nevis administration, how that is negotiated with the current government, and what potential or possibilities that may bring. So that's my sense. I think the future of PALM, the future of the PLP, is very much wrapped up in what happens in the next election, which is probably not going to win. But my sense is that if it is able to hold on past that election, it says good things for the organization in the future.
But if they were to compete in the next election and Dr. Harris, of course, remains the leader, and they win that same seat, it doesn't say that the party is growing or progressing. It's just saying that it's wrapped around and centered around one individual. And if that individual is not there, the party dies.
And that's exactly, I agree with you entirely, Andre, that I'm saying that that possibility seems more likely at this stage. So the optimistic one I painted, which is where it grows, is something that it doesn't seem likely at this time. We don't know what's going to happen. But my sense is that if you get an election result next time that's similar to this one, you're back to square one. And that's where the question of the PLP's future will continue to hang in the balance. But my sense is that we can hang the PLP's future in the balance for longer than we can hang PAM's future in the balance, because the expectations of the PLP have in many ways already been met by virtue of the fact that the party can say, you know, we are less than 5 years old, right? Sorry, we're just slightly over 5 years old, and we've won two elections. While in the situation of PAM, PAM has essentially a longer period of time where it has been around. I can't produce a level of success. And certainly in the last dispensation, it couldn't even produce a leader. So this is my thing. I do agree with you that the next election is likely to produce a result similar to this one. God forbid if either of the two members lose, it's going to be a very interesting and dynamic situation. And, you know, it's almost as though the two opposition parties are waiting to see which one will die completely first. And then the other one essentially will be like a vulture that will take up the remnants. And my money is probably on PAM dying first, simply because it's an older party and it's the one that is less likely to meet expectations in the near future. But I mean, in all instances, we're talking about 15 years. I'm not seeing it happening anytime soon.
But the PLP's success have been hinged on the People's Action Movement. The PLP would not have been in the position it was had it not been for PAM. So in that sense, then, how is it likely that PAM would be the first of the two, if any of them were to die, the first of the two to become irrelevant when the PLP's success has been hinged on PAM's success?
If you look at exponential growth versus the question of stability, I think that is the answer to the question. PAM has grown its support significantly to the point where the total popular vote for the PLP in the last election was higher than that of PAM, I believe, if my math is correct. So that's what I mean by exponential growth. Historically, PAM has a longer history, and I agree with you that when they were in office, they were relying heavily. But in the final analysis, it was clear that in the last election, there were lots of PAM supporters that said, I'm happy to throw in my lot with the PLP under the leadership of Timothy Harris, because I think that there is greater benefit or future in that. And that's an indictment, honestly, on a party that is as old as that, and that was being led by someone who had been in parliament for such a long time. So my sense is that it's really a question of growth. And I agree with you that it certainly fed heavily off of the presence of the PAM while in office. But in the final analysis, it was really all about the growth pattern of the PLP. And in the last election, its growth had been significantly sharper, you know, and in many ways, PAM is almost like the Dominica Freedom Party, where it was a party that was dominant and great at one point in time, but clearly its star has pitched and it isn't seem to be producing anything that is on an ongoing basis. And I think that comparison with Eugenia Charles' Dominica Freedom Party is extremely important and extremely relevant to this current conversation. And we're not seeing the growth, the exponential growth in relation to the People's Action Movement. And that's the reason why I think that it is potentially stuck in the political mud.
All right, let's turn our attention quickly now to Nevis. The elections are coming up on Nevis. There is some talk that it might be a December election. We're not sure yet. There has been an official announcement from the Premier. But whether it's called in December or it's called early next year, is it a case where you're seeing or you believe that the CCM has done enough? And especially in light of what transpired in the snap election that just happened in August, that the CCM has done enough to retain office, maybe even grow their support? Or has the NRP stepped up to the plate? Have they grown enough support amongst the masses with this new leader and with the new candidates that they have been listed to make a dent into the island election and the CCM support?
I'm not really sure, and certainly I don't have full data to say one way or the other, but it's clear to me that Dr. Hodge's support and the support of the CCM, the NRP has grown. I think that there is more support for the NRP under her leadership than there would have been in the past. Having said that, however, when we look at the swing analysis of the last election, it's clear that the CCM has pretty much held on to its support, even though it would have lost some support in some areas in terms of the popular vote. But it has held on to enough support to be able to hold on to three seats. If there was a single victory by the NRP in the last election, the analysis would have been easier, because there would be a concession on the part of Novitians that they're willing to say, okay, well, let's give the NRP some kind of space. So with that not happening, we now need to look to the Nevis election and see exactly what goes on. I think the Nevis election will tell us a lot about whether or not there is the star of the CCM has pitched, or whether or not the people of Nevis are willing to throw their lot in. My sense is that a lot of the Novitian voters voted solidly for the CCM in the last election on the assumption that this was a political organization that would be able to continue to deliver the kind of relationship and the kind of material benefits that it got under Team Unity, but on a larger scale, because we were now talking about moving, rationing it up a bit to this idea of a fair share. So if you're voting for CCM solidly because it is part of a Team Unity government, and then CCM comes to you in the course of an election and says, we're breaking off our relationship with Team Unity because we can give you something better under a new arrangement, which will be led by the People's Action Movement, and you can get more. The Novitians clearly bought into that idea and perhaps would have voted in favor of the three CCM candidates in that way. The fact of the matter is that has not happened. If the disappointment that I sense is real, then I think the CCM is going to be in some real trouble, because if people vote exclusively on the basis of the example that it has performed in government, where you have essentially a promise of greater riches that has not been fulfilled, we're going to have some problems. And I am already seeing signs of danger where you have a double salary promise, and there's questions as to whether or not the Nevis administration can match that. And whether or not there were conversations with the Nevis Island administration over this double salary promise, and those kinds of things, the bonuses issues and whatnot, those to me are red flags that say to me that there are going to be some unfulfilled promises and some challenges. And this was not what was happening in the past. So I don't know whether Novitians will vote in that way, but if they do vote in that way, I think that they're definitely going to be voting in a way that says that they will have some disappointment, and they may say, well, should we park our disappointment on the side of the NRP to see how the NRP would be able to treat us better?
I think a lot of what Novitians will probably look at ahead of this election, especially in light of this new government, and this is just me thinking out loud, is they probably are going to look at what relationship will St. Kitts have with Nevis, the federal government, with the island government. Now, of course, they will probably look at the Team Unity situation, and they looked at the stance that Mark Brantley took, and based on the election results, it seems as if majority divisions are saying, well, we stand with Mark Brantley in the decision he took, and his other cabinet members who were also in the federal government, to stand up against what they felt was an unfair treatment of Nevis. Now, in light of that, do divisions think, in your view, based on what you've seen so far, that the relationship between federal government and island government will be good under Mark Brantley? Or do they anticipate, especially considering in the past, the Labour Party forging a relationship with the NRP, do they believe that the NRP will have a better relationship with the federal government, and as such, will help Nevis, especially in the areas of finances and the economy, and to help them get them through challenging times?
Well, I am not convinced that the latter point that you made, I'm not necessarily convinced that they are convinced that the NRP will do better, but I am convinced that they are convinced that the NRP can do no worse. What you have is an example of a relationship that was there, that was good, that fell apart, and there was a promise of it being better, and it has not worked out. My personal sense is that the Novitians are going to look at the situation and say, well, we're not sure whether the NRP can build a stronger relationship with Labour, but what we are fairly clear on is that Labour wants nothing to do with the CCM at this point in time. Indeed, the CCM has been relegated to the role of loyal opposition. And it is also fairly clear that the CCM members that were in government and in ministries and so on are not going to be in those ministries again. And this whole idea of having a Mark Brandley, who's Minister of Foreign Affairs and head of the CIP and whatnot, all of that is not happening. And then against that background, I think that people will be reasonably excused if they said, well, we don't know whether the CCM can forge a better relationship, but certainly the NRP can forge a better relationship, but certainly it can't be any worse. And that may very well be an influential factor. If, as you said, they vote about a relationship with Nevis, a relationship with St. Kitts, or the relationship of Nevis with St. Kitts, if that is a deciding factor in relation to the local election.
So long and short, we are saying that CCM, even though you don't have poll data, but based on past trends, federal elections, the last island election, and even what has happened in recent times, that the CCM would have done enough to at least maintain the status quo.
I don't know, did I say that?
No, I'm asking clearly if that's what you're saying, is that because you if did I, say that I, you did say that NRP has grown support, but is the support enough to overtake the CCM?
Right. My sense is that I believe the CCM is in a weaker position now, both morally.
But weaker to lose the island election?
Yeah,
or
not I don't know if they up? Yeah, that part is it. I really can't say one way or the other. As I said, I don't have poll data, and I would like not to speculate. But my sense is that the CCM is weaker, the NRP is stronger, and there's a strong moral position on which the CCM is weaker. It's something that I think if the NRP is able to capitalize on it, they could easily, they could well take the government. But as I said, as far as how far along that continuum divisions are, I really can't say, and I wouldn't want to speculate. What I would say is that there's little evidence in the last election that divisions are finished with them, finished with the CCM yet. The question is, how much has that conversation changed? Because the reality is that we are now in a new dispensation, and how do we assess that new dispensation going forward?
Well, that will do it for this edition of Let's Talk St. Kitts Nevis right here on Voice of the Caribbean Radio at voiceofthecaribbean.net. I'm Andre Huey. Our guest today was Peter Wickham, Caribbean political pollster and analyst, giving his assessment of the political situation here in St. Kitts Nevis. Remember, you can listen to this program again in its entirety on demand by visiting our website, www.voiceofthecaribbean.net, clicking on Listen to Our Shows on that homepage of our website. You can also listen to the show again as it rebroadcasts on Wednesday and Friday at 10 a.m. right here on Voice of the Caribbean Radio. I'm Andre Huey. Thank you for listening to Voice of the Caribbean Radio, reaching the Caribbean and beyond. Stay tuned.
Voice of the Caribbean Radio, VOC Radio. Stay locked on.
The holiday season is approaching, and now is the time to get the message out about your business. SK Newsline introduces special advertising rates for the Christmas season with our Christmas specials. You can advertise on the SK Newsline newscast or send special holiday greetings to the general public with our Christmas greetings on both SK Newsline and Voice of the Caribbean Radio at affordable prices. Call our marketing department for more information, 665-7496, or email advertising@sknnewsline.com. Tis the season to be jolly, so enjoy our Christmas specials at SK Newsline and Voice of the Caribbean Radio, and promote your business the effective way this holiday season.
Online radio has never been this great. It's Voice of the Caribbean Radio at voiceofthecaribbean.net. Tune into Voice of the Caribbean Radio for great Caribbean programs, news, entertainment, sports, and current affairs. Wake up each morning and be inspired with One Day at a Time with Kim Huey. Stay abreast with news across the Caribbean and internationally with the Caribbean News Hour, and be entertained with shows like Reggaeville, Caribbean Classics, and Jive Music Show. Visit our website, download our Android mobile app, or listen us on TuneIn Radio. There is so much more on Voice of the Caribbean Radio, reaching the Caribbean and beyond. Check website or app for program schedule.
Want to buy some fresh fruits, vegetables, or ground provision, but don't have the time to go to the market or even to find parking? Look no further. Green Market and Delivery is your solution. Green Market and Delivery is an e-commerce store that sells and delivers local produce to customers in St. Kitts and Nevis. Anything you purchase, you can get fresh from the market and delivered directly to your door. log on to www.greenmarketskn.com. Click on the e-store link, choose your items, and shop away. We have a wide array of products from fruits, vegetables, local products, spices and seasonings, and much more. Save time and energy. Shop on greenmarketskn.com, your one-stop shop for fresh local produce.
Stay abreast with news on St. Martin with SMN News. Visit www.smn-news.com for up-to-date news, scoops, opinions, and hard-hitting facts. SMN News, we tell it like it is. Visit our website, www.smn-news.com.
If you're looking for a place to host that special event, conference, meeting, social event, party, whatever the occasion, your best option is the Millhouse Convention Center, Palmetto Point, St. Kitts. Located on the picturesque Garvey's Estate, the Millhouse Guesthouse Convention Center has enough space for outdoor events overlooking the Caribbean Sea. If you're looking indoors, the center is equipped with amenities needed to make your event a success. And by combining both spaces, you're sure to have a memorable event, no matter the occasion. Call the offices at Millhouse Guest House and Convention Center to book your next event on simply the most beautiful place in St. Kitts. Call 668-1392. Millhouse Convention Center at Garvey's Estate, Palmetto Point, St. Kitts. Making your event memorable. Auto Plus Car Wash, located on the Collins Street Gut, Bastyr, St. Kitts. Bring your car to Auto Plus Car Wash to remove water stains, wiper marks. Get your doors, roof panel cleaned, seat floor mats, buffing, headlights, and engine wash. You get quality service at the best price at Auto Plus Car Wash. They really care for your car. Call 765-5140 or visit them on the Collins Street Gut, Bastyr, St. Kitts. Auto Plus Car Wash, where service is number one.
The voice of the Caribbean Radio.